We are continuing a series of messages in our third week. And as you've seen in the bulletin, the title of our series is Believe It or Not. And we have taken different passages of Scripture and we've kind of defined them as Christian paradox. Christian paradox. Now, sometimes we may hear that word and we might not fully understand or know what exactly that word paradox means, or Christian paradox. Let me have you first of all understand that we are not talking about two followers of Christ who happen to be physicians, okay? It's not pair of docs. It's not two doctors. You got this. Okay, this is deep now. I went to college for this, okay? But we're talking about paradox. Now, what is a paradox? Well, I looked up the title, the definition, and it's something that is made up of two opposite things and that seems impossible, but is actually true or possible. Once again, something that is made up of two opposite things and that seems impossible, but is actually true or possible. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 12, if you'll turn there in your Bible, we find that we see what we're calling, what I'm preaching on this morning, as one of those Christian paradox, something in the Bible where it seems like, wait a minute, these are two opposite things. How can they seem possible? How can they work together as two opposites? And so as you turn to 2 Corinthians chapter number 12, I want to read the first 10 verses of this passage, and we will address here this next message in the series. Looking at verse number 1 of chapter number 12, it is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and the revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. Whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth. Such an one called up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth, how that he was called up into paradise, and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such an one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And verse 7, and lest I should be exalted above measure, through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, Paul is speaking here, and Christ said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. As we look at verse 10 here, notice what he says. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Now, hold on a minute here, Paul. This is one of these paradox statements. How can I be weak and yet strong? This morning, I want to bring a message entitled to us, Strength in Weakness. Strength in Weakness. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes for a word of prayer, and ask the Lord to meet with us and bless during this time. Heavenly Father, these are some wonderful people here this morning. And God, I pray that you would use your word and myself to be a challenge, to be a help, to be a reminder, to be a comfort to each and every person. Lord, I know that in a crowd this size, the needs are varied. But Lord, I do believe that we can all glean from the message this morning. At some point in our life, we've experienced similar situations. And God, I pray that you would please work in each heart and each life. Lord, we're so humbled as a church to have wonderful people who love you, who are faithful to you. Please bless now as we gather and meet around your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Paul here in 2 Corinthians is writing to the church of Corinth, and he is explaining to them how to handle their weaknesses in life. How to handle these weaknesses. Now, one thing that he does in this passage of Scripture is he uses a personal illustration to teach the lesson of how to handle their weakness. And he refers back to a time where he says, look here, guys, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. There was a messenger of Satan to buffet me. And then he tells the people there in Corinth, the church, he says, now, during that time, I went 3 times to the Lord about this area, about this weakness. And let me share with you folks what Jesus said to me. He made this statement. He said, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Now, if I may interject a word there that's understood in that phrase, when Christ is saying that his strength is made perfect in our weakness. And Paul here is reminding these folks, and he's telling them this, and he makes this statement of paradox. And he says, therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities. What? I take pleasure in reproaches. I take pleasure in necessities and in persecutions. And I take pleasure in times of distress for Christ's sake. And here's what he says to the people, for when I am weak, then am I made strong. Can you imagine maybe just being human as we are and hearing that statement? Wait a minute. When you're weak, then you're strong. And what Paul is teaching here, he's teaching us something that in our times of weakness in life, he's reminded by the Savior that said, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made what? Perfect in your weakness. Have you ever gone through a weakness in life? I think we probably all have. Paul even gives us some descriptions of weaknesses. He says in infirmities and reproaches, in necessities and persecution, in distresses, times of life where we feel, for sake of a better phrase, just our energy is just zapped because of this situation or this happening or this event. I think all of us know in life that relationships, jobs, health, many, many different things can put upon us a weakness where we just feel like we cannot accomplish anything. And God tells us, he says, that's when my strength is made perfect, if you'll let me. You see, when I am weak, then am I made strong. You know, when weaknesses come our way, we have a choice to make. We can either allow that weakness to draw us closer to the Lord, or we can allow that weakness and that conflict or that issue of life, however you want to state it, to draw us further from our Savior. And many times in our life, we've seen maybe others or even experienced in ourselves, and we're not trying to judge other people, we're not trying to condemn someone, but we're just observing that a weakness that came in their life, a tragedy, an event, a happening, a circumstance, a relationship, whatever it is, and for whatever reason, it was used against the Lord instead of drawing us closer to Him. And God says, I want this weakness of yours, I want to use it. I want to replace your weakness with my strength if you will allow me to. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been through a weakness of life where you just felt like, Lord, what is going on? You know, sometimes we do question our Heavenly Father, and I'm not saying that's wrong. We do actually want to know what's going on, you know? But we take it too far sometimes, and we're not careful. It can draw us away from our Heavenly Father who says, I'm gracious, I'm loving, my grace is sufficient. That word sufficient means that I have all that you'll ever need. And God is telling us, in this area of grace, I have all that you'll ever need. For me, the year was 1992. I was a junior in Bible college, and I was having the time of my life. I was loving it. It was not easy. It was difficult. Going to school all day, working in the nights, and ministry and everything. But man, we're just soaking it up. We're just enjoying it. We're just loving it. I mean, in that atmosphere, we're learning the Bible. We're being taught by folks who are involved deeply in ministry. And on a more personal note, it's also a great time for dating. You know? Dating's kind of nice when you're looking to get married, right? Okay. I didn't date when I was 9 because I wasn't looking to be married. Now, at 11, that was a different story. But anyway. But it was a wonderful time. And one of the major things that was going on in my life at that time that was such a pinnacle for me as a 19, 20-year-old, way back then, was as a young teenager, I had seen these traveling singing groups coming to churches. And they would sing up on the platform, represent the Bible colleges. And I remember thinking, man, one day I want to do that. I don't know what it takes, but I'd love to be able to do that. I found out that it wasn't just a voice you needed, it was also grades and your discipline and other areas, so I had hope in that area, okay? And so I was like, man, I hope I could make this. I was a junior in Bible college, and I tried out for one of these singing groups. And I didn't feel like a whole lot of a person there. I didn't know a lot of people. I came alone, to college, but I thought, I'm going to try this out. Well, lo and behold, they were really desperate that year. It was really unique how me and the 3 other guys in front of me in line, all 4 got to be in the group. There was only 4 of us in line for trial, so we got the group. You know what I mean? Actually, there were 5. A piano player guy had to be in there too. But man, I made the group. Man, I was excited. I was so thrilled. You know what we were going to get to do? We were going to get to sing in 60 churches in 60 days. Now, today I hear that, and I want to sit down because it makes me tired. But back then, let's go. Some of you from Bible colleges and other places, and even Howells Anderson, where I went, you understand what I'm talking about. It was exciting. Oh, I was looking forward to it. We had our practices. We had our meetings. We were just pumped. We were so thrilled. We were going to get to travel the country representing our college, singing gospel music, ministering in churches. It was really something to look forward to. I was at a very high point in my life at that time. During the next few weeks, as we practiced and met, we met with the different groups. There were also ladies singing groups, and you know, there was a variety. Back then, there were 4 different traveling groups. That's actually where my wife and I kind of noticed each other. Is that how you say it? We kind of noticed each other. You know, she was in one of the groups and I was in another one, and there was only one small problem. See, I was dating someone else. And so I told her when she asked me out, I said, Kristen, you'll just have to wait. I mean, I'm sorry. I'm involved in a relationship. There was no Facebook to say I'm involved in a relationship or whatever that was. But, you know. And I told the other girl, I was real spiritual. You know how girls did to us guys back then. I've been praying about it, and I just don't think this is the will of God. Oh, shut up. You remember that I used to tell you? You blame God for it. You just don't want to be with me. But we can be friends. I don't want to be your friend. But anyway, that's kind of how we started meeting. And I'm telling you, folks, this was a highlight of my, just a pinnacle of my life at that time. I was about to enter, however, into one of the most, I'll title or call weakness times or distressful times of my life. I was working a secular job at Bible College, and it had nothing to do with the college, but the guy who led our group came to see me there. I was kind of curious, why is he here? Because this has nothing to do with the college. And he said, I need to talk to you. And as I could see in his face and hearing his voice, it wasn't about some exciting event. We were 2 weeks away from hitting the road and having a blast. And he sat me down and he said, Chris, I just got word from your home pastor back where you grew up there in North Carolina that your 15-year-old brother was playing around with some of your dad's guns, and one of them engaged the trigger there, and it killed him. And I thought, man. You know, have you ever been in a time in your life where you went from, man, just up here, to just down here in a couple of minutes? That's where I was. And I felt that what we're talking about here, this weakness. I thought, Lord, what? Why? And as I give my illustration, I know people, scores of people in the room here this morning, and you've gone through similar situations where, man, things were going great, and then the bomb just fell. And I'll never forget that. I flew back home to be with my parents, and of course my parents were broken, and they were, you know, heartbroken, of course, and just weak and distressed as well. Tried comforting them the best I could. I did a lot of the decision making with how to make things happen in the services and everything. My parents were just broken, and rightly so. And I just remember it being a hard time. I remember it being a time where I called out to God and just said, Lord, we need you in this weak time of our life. Would you please help us? And these words rang true in my heart and in my mind. When Jesus told Paul, as he was referring and speaking to these people in Corinth, my strength is made perfect in your weakness. And I thought, how in the world? He said, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. And God basically said, I want you to give me your weakness, and I'll give you my strength. I want you to take this weakness, just as Paul was saying here, when I'm weak, then am I made strong. And how do you figure that one out? Because it's not our strength, it's God's strength. It's our weakness with His strength. And if you've ever been through a hard time in life and you've chosen to receive that strength, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You know, you say, well, sometimes we try to explain it just as I've done, and we may not even have given it justice because God did something so great that it's hard to even explain. How? You ever seen someone from a distance go through a weakness time in life, a tragedy, a heartbreak, and they're, man, they must just have everything together, man. They're just on top side, and they're making it, and they're trusting the Lord. How in the world, man? How do they do that? Because they gave their weakness to God and received His strength through it. And that's how we do that. God said, I want you to give me your weakness, and I will give you my strength. Our weak times in life will either draw us closer to God or further away. And Paul made a statement here that really takes some spiritual maturity. He said, I take what? Pleasure. You take pleasure in your weaknesses? Yes, because God uses them for His glory. I'm not thankful for the weakness, but I'm thankful that God can use the weakness and that He provides that strength. You see, God specializes in taking us from our weakest point and bringing us to His strengthening place. I found out that my brother was on a baseball team, and they were going to have a game that night. And this was all fresh. We hadn't had a service. We hadn't had a viewing. We hadn't had any of that formal stuff. This was all fresh. It was going to be a game tonight. And I found out that, and the team canceled the game because of this happening, and just as a remembrance to my brother. But they were still meeting at the field. And I remember the Lord speaking to my heart and saying, you should go talk to those people. Now, I'm not like you are. You would have said, okay, Lord, and grabbed some tracks and went out and talked to the people. I didn't want to. I'll be very transparent with you. I was dealing with issues and things and all this and that, and I didn't want to go talk to a group of people I didn't know. I was at a weak point. I really felt like I needed to cater to these things over here. And God said, hold on a minute now. If you want me to use this weakness, you've got to receive my strength and listen. Well, after several promptings, I went. And I went out to the field. Now, this was a complex of many baseball fields all over the place. People swarming all around. And I thought, Lord, I don't know what I'm going to say to these people, but I'll at least go talk. I'll at least thank them for coming in memory of my brother. We got to the field there, people swarming all around. We're kind of here on the bleachers, and I thanked everyone for coming and remembering my brother and all that pertained to that. And as I got to talking to them, God just started strengthening me and giving me ability that I didn't have. You ever said something or been talking to someone, encouraging them or helping them, and it's like you hear these words, but that's not me speaking. Is that me speaking? I can't believe that. You know, it's the Lord speaking through us. And I told the folks there were parents there were coaches there were, of course, players there. And I said, you know, I don't know you folks, but we both know someone who's tragically passed away. A few years ago, he called on Jesus and asked him to be a Savior. And he's in heaven, even though this is a very tragic, unique situation. I said, do you know for sure you're on your way to heaven? I couldn't believe I was saying this to people I didn't know at a ball field with other people swarming. But God gives you strength that is undefinable sometimes, unexplainable. And so I witnessed to the group. I asked him, I said, if you'd like to trust Christ as your Savior, I want to help you with this evening. I finished off with them, and in the close of the prayer, I said, now, if you ask Christ in your heart, I'd love to rejoice with you. Would you let me know by just raising your hand? I lifted my eyes. There were grown men had their hand up. Over half of the ball team had trusted Christ as their Savior. And it was like God said in my heart, not in a bad way, not in a negative way, but it was like God saying, you know, I told you so. You ever had God say, I told you so? He's like, I told you so. He said, don't be afraid. He's like, don't worry about this. Your weakness is where I specialize, because that's when it's my strength coming through and not you depending on what you call your strength. God said, that's when my strength comes through. It was an amazing event in the midst of a tragedy. There's three things here that can take place during our weakness that we find in this passage. First of all, from our Heavenly Father, we see a sufficient grace. A sufficient grace. Aren't you glad this morning that God has all the grace that you need in the ups and downs of life? In the good times and in the bad times, the hymn writer was well in writing the title, Amazing Grace. And it is amazing. And God says, I will give you grace through this event of your life. And folks, you know just as well as I do, as we experience that, we know it's God. Lord, thank you. As we go through a weakness in life, as we are challenged in this life through the ups and the downs, and God's strength comes through, it's a sufficient grace. He says, my grace is sufficient. 1 Timothy chapter number 1 and verse 14, it says, the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. Our God is full of grace. But not only is sufficient grace given, secondly, we see here that a strength is given. There's a sufficient grace, but then there's a strength given. Psalms 18 verse 2 says, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength in whom I will trust. Let me ask you something this morning. Who are you going to trust in times of weakness? Who are we going to look to? Are we going to look to ourselves for strength in the very midst of our weakest times of life? No, we're not going to find it there. But I promise you this, based on the Word of God, that we will find strength in our Heavenly Father. And when those weak moments come, and those tragedies come, and those trials hit our life, and by the way, it rains on the just and the unjust. Aren't you glad as a Christian, as a follower of Christ, that we have a Heavenly Father that says, here, let me step in with some strength. Let me pray. Hey, this is where I specialize. It's when you're at a weak moment, I provide that strength that only I can give. And so this strength is given. Sometimes we see people who are excited and happy and joyful, and we think, man, they must not have any problems. I mean, they must just have it made. They must not have any difficulties. I mean, they're making all the money they need. Their kids are obedient. Their wife cooks a hot meal every night. I don't know about that, but, you know, hey, this must be great. They must not have a problem in the world. No, they do. But you know what that person has done? They've said, Lord, here's my weaknesses of life. And they've received His strength. And they walk around with joy because the joy of the Lord is what? Is my strength. None of us have it all together. All of us face difficulty, excuse me, and all of us have weaknesses. But we give it to God, and He says, here's my strength. And when God does that, lastly, we see a Savior glorified. When God has worked through you, and you've seen Him do this before, you've spoke a word of encouragement to someone in the midst of a time when you're defeated or maybe weakened as well. But God used you in a great way. And you've seen that happen. Do we take the credit for it? No. What did the ladies just sing before I got up to speak this morning? All the glory belongs to Jesus. Doesn't it? All the praise belongs to Him because He's the one who strengthened me in my time of weakness. He's the one that lifted my feet out of the miry clay. He's the one that the songwriter so wisely said, when He reached down His hand for me and in my weakest moment, He lifted me up and He strengthened me and He used me to help somebody else. Folks, that's what the Christian life is all about. We're going to go through weaknesses one way or the other. Shouldn't we allow the Lord to provide His strength in our weakness to be a help to someone else? We sang a chorus this morning, and on purpose we sang that. I know it may have seemed like what we would call a children's song. I found that a lot of the children's songs are songs that I need to work on in my own life because the words are pretty powerful. But we sang, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to Him belong. That's not just talking about children. What's the next part of the verse say? They're weak, but He is strong. And that's how we have strength in our weakness. We give it to the Lord. Maybe you're here this morning and you don't know for sure that you're on your way to heaven. There's a weakness there. But God says, I provided the cross. Jesus died on the cross for our sins. He rose again 3 days later, and He provides the strength that's needed to become a Christian and know that we're on our way to heaven. Our eyes are closed. Our heads are bowed this morning. Paul said, I take pleasure in my weaknesses, for when I am weak, then am I strong. They are weak, but He is strong. What is the trial possibly going on in your world? Maybe everything's going fine now, but can I say that we're going to need this message sometime or another? There's going to be a time in life where infirmities, persecutions, distress, Paul listed them for us there in verse 10. And it may be something not even on the list. But we have a weakness. God says, that's what I specialize in. What is it possibly that you're going through this morning? And God says, I want to provide my strength, my sufficient grace, my strength to help you in this time of weakness.